we had advertised the title of the shiur, at least the other place that I give it, Super Shailas from the Big Game. So, as a rule, my favorite, I'm going to stand just because I need to stand today. As a rule, my favorite 4 hours of the year are the 4 hours between 6 o'clock and 10 o'clock on Sunday of the Super Bowl, because during those hours, there is nothing. There's no email, there's no text, there's nothing that bothers me. It's like I go get to be Yeshiva Bacher again and just like, you know, have a straight Seder. It's unbelievable. It's like, it's especially this year, my son has his license, so he's able to drive all my other kids to all their friends and their Super Bowl. I didn't even have to do the carpools. It was mamish. Amazing. It's the best. But sometimes after the fact, shailas emerge, and sometimes on rare occasions, even during the fact, shailas emerge. Now this year, the Rabbanim, who like-minded Rabbanim, we all enjoyed a special bonus, and that is that the Super Bowl went into overtime. So we not only had regular regulation time, we even had overtime to enjoy our time off. So here's a shaila. So I'm going to share with you three questions. I have a list of five that had come up over the years of the Super Bowls, but three questions, and you'll tell me which ones you want to talk about. Maybe we'll probably get to more than one of them. I got a text from a Talmud in Eretz Yisrael. When I was in Israel, just like, maybe it was only in the yeshiva that I was in, we didn't even know the Super Bowl was happening. It was like, I guess it's a different world nowadays. But not only do they know what's going on, but they're all doing the full American experience at what I have to assume is 1 in the morning till 4 in the morning or something like that.
Yeah, they stay up, they learn 4 staple and davening.
Yeah, except for the learning and davening part. I'm sure that's all true. So they do the entire festivities, you know, with all the gambling and the food and everything, everything that's Minig America that you do in the Super Bowl. I saw somewhere that what was the stat? It was some ridiculous statistic of how many chicken wings are consumed on Super Bowl Sunday. I think they said the combined weight of the chicken wings consumed in America on Super Bowl Sunday is some multiple of the combined weight of all the players on all NFL teams. And you've seen like these offensive linemen, right? This is not stop. I mean, this is some serious chicken wing eating going on in this country. And like the amount of money gambled, it's like it's greater than the gross domestic product of like 95% of the countries in the world. Like crazy, crazy numbers, like that you hear about. If you were an outsider, you would probably look at this and say that's depraved. But you know, we grew up with it, so it's like, oh, that's part of the fun. But it's really kind of ridiculous. You know, people betting on whether exactly how long the national anthem is going to take, betting on the coin toss. So anyway, long story short, the shaila that I got was that I remember this from when I was a kid already. That this was a thing to do. That there's a type of gambling called boxes, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So no one's. Okay, I was going to say no one's pretending they don't. You Taka probably don't. So the what essentially what it is they you have a like
zero through nine.
You pick a digit for box 1, box 2, box 3, box 4. That digit should be and if you guess right, it's the second digit or the last digit in the score of that team after the first quarter, the second quarter, the third quarter, and the fourth quarter. And if you guess, let's say you had a 1, a 7, a 0, and an 8. So if the team had 11 points after the first quarter, and 17 after the second quarter, and what did I say? 20 after the third quarter, and 28 after the fourth quarter, then you know you win the whole pot, which if enough people enter, could be a significant amount of money. So... But they have four boxes: is first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, end of game. So a number of people wrote an 8, or one person wrote an 8 for the Patriots' score at the end of the game, or for the winning team's score at the end of the game. Another person wrote a 4 for the winning team's score at the end of the game. Now everything else they got correctly. The Patriots had 28 points at the end of the fourth quarter. They had 34 points at the end of overtime. So he wanted to know, Al Pidin, who is the winner of the boxes? What?
While he's gambling,
yeah, exactly. They want to know who is the... So my Talmud would never do this. He was asking this on behalf of a friend. He wanted to know what's the halacha. What's the halacha? Who's entitled to the money? Okay, that's shaila number one. Pretty intriguing, no? Shaila number one. Shaila number two, get a phone call from a Super Bowl party. A guy was planning on... He missed Marav earlier in Shul. He was planning on running out to Davin Marav at late minyan, got so caught up in the game, and he missed that also. And the game is going on. He's at a Super Bowl party at a friend's house. There are like 15 people there watching the game, and he needs to daven Marav, and he's like limited to his friend's basement for some reason. Him and like two other guys in daven Marav, so three of them need to daven. The other 12 guys who are watching the game said, okay, we'll put it on mute, but we're not shutting it off because, like, the game's going to overtime. We're not shutting it off. We'll put it on mute. So he wants to know, is he allowed to daven with a television on mute in the room? Is it permissible daven Marav? I don't know why he had no other options. He said the rest of the house is off limits. The guy's wife, they have little kids, and she said, you get the basement, but that's it. You can't have anyone else walking around. So is he allowed to daven with the television on mute? That was question number two. Question number three was more of a hashkafa question, but I thought it was somewhat interesting. Someone came over to me at Mariv that Sunday, right before the game, and said that his young son had to be punished for doing something wrong. He did not share with me exactly what his child had done, but the punishment was that the kid is not allowed to watch the first quarter of the Super Bowl. He was docked for the first quarter of the game, which is, you know, a reasonable punishment. I mean, if effective, probably, and the father wanted to know, al pi hashkafa, al pi proper chinuch, should he sit out? He said, I normally watch the whole Super Bowl. Should I dafka sit out the first quarter with my son, should I dafka watch the game to let him know you're being punished and you're missing something for this, and no one else is missing it. Everyone else gets to enjoy it, but you're missing it. So that was, I don't know if you call that a shayla, that was Eitza question, we'll call that question number three. So we have the boxes, we have davening with the television on in the room, but on mute, and we have the Eitza in Chinuch Habana. Do you want a whole new set of questions, or do you want to choose from one of those?
Definitely the first one.
Definitely the first one, the boxes? Okay, so the break it down into its component parts. What do we need to figure out in order to answer that first question? In order to answer the boxes question, what do we need to know?
What are you betting on? You betting on the fourth quarter, or you betting on the game?
Okay, right. So let's go even before that.
Gambling mutter.
Meaning is gambling mutter, but even more importantly is this, because what's done is done. They did it, but are you allowed to take your winnings? Meaning even if it's usher, it doesn't necessarily mean you're not allowed to take your winnings. What? Kanya or lo kanya, exactly. So if we would hold that asmachta lo kanya, right, then the person is not allowed to take those winnings. That is stealing. But if you hold asmachta kanya, even if you hold that it's a terrible thing to do and that it's usher to do, but you know that part was already done. You know they already did the gambling, and you're not going to undo the dozens of people or however many people put in for this. This gambling, this is, I finally did it. I've been asking Rav Zilberstein questions for I don't know how many years now. I finally came up with a question that was too ridiculous for him to answer. This is it. He refused to answer this question. I sent him a couple of shilas. He responded to the others and then just left this one blank. He didn't respond to this question. So that was nana a little bit that he had the dignity not to respond to this question. So anyway, the Mishnah says in Masechta Sanhedrin. On Daf, right, very good. On Daf Chavtal and Beis, we'll tell Daf Rabbi, you remember that. Ve'elu ein apsulin, ha-mesachik b'kuvia, v'amal v'brivis, mafrichi onim, etc. That the people are apostle Eidos, mesachik b'kuvia, first on the list. The Gemara very famously asks, mesachik b'kuvia, maika avid. Why would that apostle person from Eidos? What exactly did you do wrong when you were mesachik b'kuvia? Amiram mesachik b'kuvia is gambling. Amiram barchama, mishum dahava asmachta, the asmachta lo kanya. So opinion number one in the Gemara It's asmachta, which is a form of gezel mitarabbanon. Oh, but it's not gezel. He's giving it willingly. Everyone's putting their money in willingly. It's not gezel. It's gezel mitarabbanon, not midaraisa. You're right. They're giving it willingly, not midaraisa. But mitarabbanon, we assume that a person doesn't put money in unless he really plans on getting money back. Midrabbanan, we assume that he doesn't plan on losing, and he really believes deep down he's going to win. You ever join a, put in a ticket for a raffle for something? You know what your chances are. You know your chances are somewhat minuscule, unless it's like a really shvacha raffle. You know your chances are very minuscule. Does it ever fail to disappoint you when you lose? No, always feels disappointing when you lose. Why in the world would you be disappointed? Why would you expect to win? You know what your chances are, but still always feels disappointing to lose. It's a thing that we have. This our psychological makeup is that when we commit to something, when we put money on something, as soon as we're in, we start believing that it's going to happen. We start believing that we're going to win. They've done tests like this on people at racetracks, asking them what the chances are that a certain horse is going to win the second before they put money down to bet on them, and the second after they put money down to bet on them. And their confidence in the horse goes through the roof the second they put money down on them. Now, nothing changed about the horse. It's not like the horse just got new injections, after they put money down. But something changes about the person's attitude toward it. And Chazal saw this. And Chazal say this is at least this opinion in the Gemara, Roim Bar Chama, it's a smachta. It's a form of gezel midrabbanan. Am Rav Sheshes, or Rav Sheshes Amar, Kol Ki Agavna, Lav Asmachta Hi. Elof Yishenos can be Yeshuvah Shalalam. It's just that a person is not living with the reality when they're gambling. They're not Osik be Yeshuvah Shalalam. They're not involved in normal business practices. They don't understand the value of money. So it doesn't mean it's okay to do. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah says some pretty strong words about what it means to be Eino Osek B'Yeshuva Shel Olam. The Rambam writes in Pirush HaMishnah is Yisod Hu B'Torasenu She'ein Ro'oi La'adam La'hasik Es Atzmo Ba'olam Hazeh Ela Be'echad Mishnei Dvarim. The Rambam says I could boil all of life down to two categories. There are two things you need to do in life. Every activity that you're involved in your entire life can be boiled down to two things. What is that? B'chachma lahashlim ba'es atzmo, o be'esik sheyoelo b'kiyuma olam. K'gon umnas ha'mischer. Either be involved in chachma, where you become a better person, or be involved in something that enhances yeshuva shel olam, that enhances society. And v'ro'i l'mayit bazel harbos barishon, and do less of the second and more of the first. Yeah. Oh, so the Gemara says, "My benayhu." What's the nafkamina between these two shitos? Ika benayhu the gemara masachriti. If you have another job, so if you're eino osik b'yeshuva shel olam, you are osik. You're a doctor, you're a lawyer, whatever. You just happen to do a little bit of gambling on Super Bowl Sunday. But if you hold that it's stealing, so it's not okay to steal just on Super Bowl Sundays, right? So that would be the nafkamina between the two opinions. Very clear nafkamina. But the point I'm trying to make is, even if Yolda doesn't pass you the Eidos, because you're still Osik B'Yeshuvah Shel Olam, engaging in an activity that is labeled by Chazal as Eino Osik B'Yeshuvah Shel Olam, right, that activity itself is not Osik B'Yeshuvah Shel Olam, the Rambam writes, is the wrong thing to do. Maybe not Usher, maybe not Pasul you from Eidos, definitely not Pasul you from Eidos, but it's definitely not something you want to be doing. You should be involved in chachma. You should be involved to a lesser extent in business. You should not be involved in these kinds of things. And that everyone agrees. Now, the exact definition of asmachta is somewhat of a discussion and well beyond what we're going to get into right now. How we paskin in our gemara, in this gemara, Masech Sanhedrin, is also somewhat of a discussion. The Rif and Tosos Masech Sanhedrin both hold that gambling is not asmachta, and therefore if you do it on occasion, it's permitted. The Rivash and the Radvaz hold that gambling is asmachta, and is therefore usur, even if you do it occasionally. Rabbeinu Eliyahu, quoted in Tosos, says, yeah, it's mutter if you put the money on the table in advance. If the person didn't even have to put the money down in advance, then it's going to be asur. But if you put the money down already, then it's mutter, which is very nogea l'chor over here. I assume the way it works is that when you submit your box, you submit the money with it. So the money is kept in some location. It's already down on the table. The Rambam, in a couple of places, says slightly different things. The Rambam in Hilchos Eidos writes that it's only possible if in the Meselahu, that only if that's your only job are you possible Eidos. But then in Hilchos Gzeilah Aveda, he says it's Gezem Lidrabana. So a little bit of a contradiction in the Shitas Rambam, yeah?
Putting money down, is that because the money's in front of you or because the money's already out of your pocket? Not for me in a credit card.
Ah, so I assume it's because it's out of your pocket already. I mean, they say munach al adaf, but nowadays, if you chase quick pay, I would imagine that, you know, or whatever, I would imagine that's considered munach al adaf as well. So how do we paskin? Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Ayin paskins that it's gezel midivrehem. Maybe different with a non-Jew, but paskin that it's gezel midivrehem. The Ramah is a little more difficult. The Ramah over there says it's mutter, like Rav Shesh says. In Simon Reish Zion, he says, but you need the money to be there. And it could be that you need the money on a place that's jointly owned also, that there has to be some like sort of kinyan on the money. Either way, it would seem that if you're a Svardi, meaning I would imagine that, I would assume and I would hold that gambling is usher if you're a Svardi or an Ashkenazi. But if you're Svardik and you hold that it's mamish gezel midivrehem, so then in this case you probably cannot take the winnings. So even if you, meaning the whole discussion is a moot point, because if you're asking a shaila, the answer is give everybody their money back, no one's allowed to take their winnings. But if it's Ashkenazim, probably if it's not gezel midivrehem, while they did the wrong thing by engaging in this, by engaging in this game, you're probably allowed to take the winnings. So then the question becomes, okay, so let's say you're allowed to take the winning. So who's the winner? Which is what his question really was the whole time, right? Who's the winner? Hard to find direct Mar Makomos on this topic, but here's what I found. I mean, here's what came to mind. There's a guy in my shul, when I mentioned this Shaila, who said immediately, came over to me right away, he said, it's the Mishnah Bat Metzia, it's got to be it. So this is what came to mind for me as well. So I feel like Baruch Shekivanti to a very bright fellow in my shul. The Mishnah Maseches Bava Metzia says, "Hamaskir bayis lechaver l'shana." If a person rents a house to someone else for a year, what happens if it then becomes a leap year? No, overtime. There's overtime on the year. No, this is right. It's pretty spot on, right? So nisabra shana, nisabra l'soche. The socher gets the extra month for free. Someone once told me when I was younger, there's nothing that comes free in this world except for that extra month's tuition if you send your kid to yeshiva in Israel. For some reason, it's the same tuition, whether there's an other base or no other base, but it goes by the Jewish calendar. You get an extra month of free tuition. It's like, you know what the value of that is? I know, because I just got the bill from my son for next year already. It's significant. It's significant. So you get thousands of dollars for free. So nisabra ashana, nisabra l'socher. The socher gets the advantage. But hiske lo l'chadashim, if you rent it and you say, okay, it's going to be $1,000 a month, and then nisabra, but the plan is, it's a two-year lease, $1,000 a month. And then nisabra ashana, there's an overtime, there's another base, nisabra l'maskir. So the maskir gets to charge the extra money. So what does it depend on? Right. What was the wording of it? Was the wording for the game or was the wording for the quarter? Meaning, do the boxes, how are the boxes labeled? Is it 1, 2, 3, 4 or is it 1, 2, 3 game? If it's 1, 2, 3, 4, then it's the end of the quarter. If it's 1, 2, 3 game, it's the end of the game. Look over. Yeah.
Even though it's labeled 1, 2, 3, 4, everyone's just assuming that's going to be the end of the game because it's never known.
It never happened yet, but now it did. Why? No, you see, if it was about predicting a winner, I would agree with you. You know, it's an udna demuchach that obviously, you know, you're picking the score, you know, between two teams at the end of the game. But it's about picking a number of points that you think are going to be scored in each quarter. Not even the number of points that you think are going to be scored in each quarter. A digit that ends these, you know, like it's just a random number. So Me'echi Tesi, that the winner or when the game ends should matter. You're picking, you know, each 15 minutes of football. 15, right?
Yeah. Would row matter?
Would row?
Is the only time it was ever overtime?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Why would it matter? You know,
so much that everyone would assume that if row, every time in history, every 50 times at 51, that last box ended up being the game winner, then you assume that when you do it, that's it. Yeah,
I don't know, because it's always both. It's always the fourth quarter and always the game winner. I would just add one very important twist over here, and that is that if you enter into a game that has rules, then you throw all this out the window. Meaning, if there are set rules that are yadua, that those rules exist, and you're entering into the game, you're entering al-manas, that those rules be followed. So something like this, I would imagine they do in Vegas. Yeah? Right? So if they do these things in Vegas, there's no way Vegas didn't think of this. Right? So there are rules. Whatever the rules are in Vegas are the rules that you entered al-manas. You entered the game. No, I think even if you didn't do it in Vegas. Meaning it's like you start to play a baseball game and you swing and miss a third time. And you say, no, we're playing with my four-strike rule. No, you're playing baseball. If you play baseball, it's three strikes. It's not four strikes.
College basketball and NBA basketball have different rules.
Okay, in Okinami, but boxes. So I would think that you're entering on the standard gambling rules. That's what I would have assumed. Okay, so that's my answer in terms of the boxes. Should we just go in order? I'll go to the Chinuch one. The Chinuch one will take me 2 minutes. I don't really have that much to say. With the Chinuch question, I mean, it's not a halakha question, it's an Eitzah question. I would just make a couple of quick points. First of all, I don't think it's a great idea for a parent to punish themselves. That just sends the message that, you know, when you do something wrong, I get punished. Why is that fair? Meaning, the parent should say, I didn't do anything wrong, so I'm not going to get to punish yourself and to make a point of sitting there and pouting in the room with the kid while he's sitting there and pouting, I think is silly. I don't think that makes any sense. However, a parent also, I think, has to make it very clear that he's not enjoying punishing the child. It should not be like, yeah, I get to really, you know, stick it to that kid for... it should not be something that the kid feels like the parent is gloating or enjoying the fact that he's being punished. The kid should realize, the child should realize that, and it should be true, that the parent is very unhappy about the fact that he has to do this, but it's something that he has to do. I'm reminded when I was in Karen Biavner, Rav Mendel Blachman once told us in a shmooze that he remembers as a child growing up in, I don't know, the 1960s or whatever, in Chicago, that it used to be in the 1960s when you raised children, if they misbehaved, what do?
Smack them,
right? So he said when his father would hit him, he would tell him before each time he would hit him, with tears in his eyes, Mendel, I love you so much. Whack! And he said it just left such an impression on him that it was hurting his father to have to do this, but he felt that this was his responsibility to do. And it was coming purely from a place of love. A child should never feel like a parent is either angry, and a parent is definitely not allowed to, even al pi chazal, where hitting was more acceptable, not allowed to hit out of anger. And a child should never feel that a parent is gloating at his punishment. The best type of punishment would be something that would be productive, meaning a mida keneged mida. There was one of the Rebbe used to work in DRS, now he's the head of school in Yula, Rabbi Dov Emerson, a good friend of mine. When he took over the discipline in the school, were you there when he changed the whole language of like the student handbook. It used to be, you know, the punishment for this, the punishment for that. There were no punishments anymore. Everything was a consequence. It was and it was natural. Like, oh, this naturally leads to that. You're late, you stay a little later after. Meaning everything was just a natural consequence. And when something is a natural consequence, it makes sense. You know, if a child is bullying someone else, so maybe the consequence should be time spent doing chesed, community service, you know, that kind of thing, rather than just sitting in your room stewing and getting angry. So that's probably the better type of punishment. I just thought that it could be a usually positive chinuch moment. I said to the father, you know, this guy is a tremendous mentor. Right? He's a really, you know, mamash learns all the time and is very, very, very erlich guy. I said, yeah, you have to sit there 4 hours watching a football game? I mean, well, what's the matter with you? The kid is going to be sitting out the quarter, so sit and learn with him. And you know what? And give him candies and money and, you know, for every good question and for every, and make it the most exciting learning he's ever done in his entire life. And then when you sit and watch the game, don't get as excited when you're watching the game. Show him what's really geschmack in life. Show him what's really enjoyable. And you know what? He may or may not remember who's going to win that game, but he'll always remember that you sat and learned with him. And that will be a Super Bowl that he'll remember. So sit and learn with him for a little bit, and in a geschmack way, not like I'm forcing you to learn with me kind of way. He already knows he's sitting out the game, so say, you know what? Come, let's learn something. You know, you pick what we should learn or whatever, or pick something that you know will be enjoyable. It reminded me of the story I told my shiur this week. I have no idea where this story came from, or and I'm fairly confident that it's not a true story, but it makes the point anyway. So someone said that Rav Moshe Weinberger somehow ended up in somebody's, in one of the Balabatim's houses during the Super Bowl. And the Super Bowl was on the TV, and it was like, and it was like a critical moment in the game. You know, Manning back to pass. It's up in the air. Tyree is under it. You know, something like that. And Rabbi Weinberger saw everyone like getting up and ready to scream. And he walks over to the TV and he turns it off. And he says, that excitement should be reserved for Avodas Hashem. That level of excitement shouldn't come at a football game. Okay, now, okay, I know it didn't happen, because my raya that it didn't happen is Rabbi Weinberger is still alive, Baruch Hashem. Baal Fatim would have killed him. So, but the point is an important point, that the energy and the excitement and the passion, you know, I have a good friend who grew up in Philadelphia, and he told me, you know, when we used to live around the corner from each other in Cedarhurst, and one Shabbos morning, it was like snowing like crazy. It was freezing cold. People were cheshvening, should they go to shul, should they not go to shul? And this guy said, there's no way I'm missing shul. He said, I think back to when I was in high school at a Philadelphia Eagles game, where I literally paid a lot of money to buy apple cider, which wasn't even kosher. They sold hot apple cider at a game, just so that I could stick my fingers in it to prevent frostbite at the Eagles game. He said, if I could sit outside in that weather for 3 hours, I can be Ovid Hashem. Some of that passion, some of that commitment, some of that to be reserved for Avodas Hashem. So he says, make it the most exciting night of the year, but let it be in Avodas Hashem, at least at the beginning. Okay, that was just some thoughts in terms of the chinuch. Last question. Davening with the TV muted. So I think there are two major issues over there, aside from the you know, time to reassess your life issue, if you know, this whatever. But I think there are two major issues over here. One is I heard that sometimes on TV they have women whose sleeves aren't all the way down to their elbows. So sometimes there's erva on the television. So that's rumor has it. So the shaila is, are you allowed to say Dvar Mishnah B'Kedusha? Are you allowed to daven in a room where that's showing? So there's a famous, by now famous, tshuva from Rav Avadya Yosef in Chavad Aschel, Udal Tzim Zayin. Ha'im mutar likro kriya shema levarich berach samazun keneged ha-televizia be'ez shamofia sham isha bilvush bilti tzanua. Are you allowed to daven when there is a woman that is bilti tzanua on the television? So Rav Avadya points out in Maseches Brachos Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph, Am Rabbi Yitzchak Tefach Biisha Erva, meaning you're not allowed to read Kriya Shema or say Dvar Mishnah B'Kedusha across from an exposed Tefach of an Isha unless you turn your head the other way, or at the very least close your eyes. And this Paskim Shulchan Aruch Simin Ayin Hey. The Gemara goes on to say Chafei Amud Bezim Brachos. Even if you see erva ba'ashashis, what's erva ba'ashashis? It's covered in glass. right? Somehow it's covered in some sort of glass, so it's being mafsik between you and the woman. Still, you're not allowed to say Kriya Shema, because the Torah says a lashon of ri'iya, that you're not allowed to see the erva, as opposed to, the Gemara contrasts that with tsoa ba'ashashes. You're not allowed to say Kriya Shema when there's tsoa there, when there's excrement there, but if that's ba'ashashes contained in a glass container, so then you're allowed to say Kriya Shema, but not with erva ba'ashashes. So says Rav Ovadia, l'chora, this is difficult, because there is a Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis. Edim are made about seeing the new moon, and they see it be'ashashes. They see the new moon through a glass. That's not called ri'iya. They didn't really see it. They only saw it through a glass. So we cannot accept the reidos. So says Rav Avadia, but by erva, since it's all about ri'iya, so through a glass, we said that you're not allowed to say Dvar Moshe B'Kedusha. So which is it? So he quotes the Tshuvas Dvar Shmuel. The Tshuvas Dvar Shmuel says that in Rosh Hashanah we're not talking about seeing the moon through a window. We're talking about seeing a moon with a mirror, through a reflection. That's what it means by Shasha. So what you're looking at isn't the actual moon. But by Erva Ba'ashashes, what you're looking at is the actual erva. That's the chiluk that he wants to make. So he says, "L'fi ze hayinir lomer shimra d'musi isha b'ri'io b'televizia." Right? If you pull away the glass of the television, is she going to be behind there? And they've just flattened all the people over the last several years. Right? So that's not. She's not there. It's a break. So he says, L'chora muta l'kros Kriya Shema, because you don't see the woman herself, you only see Es Demusa. However, he says, the concern of saying Torah Shem Kedusha in front of Erva is a chashash hirhur, and that certainly exists. So while it's not objectively the presence of Erva, there certainly is a chashash hirhur. And he says, what's my raya that there could be a chashash hirhur even on something that's on a screen and it's not the actual person there? It's a little funny. What do you mean, what's my raya? There's a multi-billion-dollar industry that's your raya, that there could be hirhur when someone's on a screen. No, but he says it's always better to have a raya from a Gemara. So he says the raya is that the Gemara in two places, in the Dara Ma'am Sechs Nazir, I think it's the test in both places, if I'm not mistaken, of Shimon HaTzadik. He says, Miyamelo Khalti Ashur Nazir Tameh Ela Echa. Shimon HaTzadik says, I only ate from the carbon of a Nazir Tameh once. Nazir Tameh, normally we are unhappy with him, because if he didn't make it Pitara through his Nazirus, we tell him, why did you become a Nazir? Why would you bring that problem upon yourself? If he was Kadosh Pitara and he was able to make it Pitara, so good, so he did a mitzvah. But he couldn't make it till the end without Tumah, so we're not happy with him. Says Shimon HaTzadik, one time I ate. Why? Because Pamachas, Bolifanai, Nazir Echad Min Adorum, Yifei Einayim, V'tov Roi, V'ksos Asturus L'Totalim. Amarti Lo, B'ni, Mari Yisal HaShchisar Chazeh HaNo'eh. He came with the most beautiful hair, and I said, why would you want to shave all this hair off? What are you doing? Amarli Roa Yisi La'aba. So he said, I used to be a shepherd for my father. Halachti L'malos Mayim in a Be'er. And I went to fill water from the Be'er. V'nistakalti B'babua Shali B'mayim. And I saw my reflection in the water. I saw what a handsome man I am, and my Yetzer Hara, my Gaiva, got the best of me, and it wanted to take me. My Yetzer Hara wanted to take me out of this world. Amarti, right then and there, I made a commitment. I'm going to shave all this l'shamayim, because part of the Nazirus process is to shave at the beginning, shave at the end. So I'm going to take off all this hair. Miyad, says Shimon HaTzadik, amadati v'neshakti v'al rosho. I got up and I kissed him on his head. V'amarti lo, b'ni kamochi yirbo nozri nazirus b'Yisrael. So says Rav Avadia, apparently it caused him hirhurim. He got, but not by looking at anything real, by looking at his reflection. So reflections can elicit emotions and thoughts and hirhurim. Davar pashut reflections can elicit emotions and thoughts and hirhurim. But that's his raya. Then Rav Avadia says, but let's be clear, I'm talking about seeing a television by accident. but not that anyone should ever bring a television into their house, etc. You know, v'chule, v'chule. You know, he says, you know, if you look in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shabbos, it says you're not even allowed to read Sefer Emmanuel, which is, what's Sefer Emmanuel? So we just quoted this in the Tamar Halacha Shir recently, right? There's some that believe that Yigdal, Tefillah Yigdal, was written by Emmanuel, and that's why the Arizal was so violently against Yigdal. He did not want to hear of it. That you're gonna, the one person who enjoys the distinction of being called out in Shulchan Aruch, do not read this book, and he's the author of this Tefillah, so not to say the Tefillah. Okay, that may or may not be the reason that the Arizal was against it. And Emmanuel wrote other things that are very, very helpful and good. But whatever it is, the Rav Avadya says, if that you're not allowed to have, Sifrei Cheshek, or Kal V'chomer television, fine. Bottom line is, you're in the room with the television. If it's not the presence of Erva, so certainly turning the other way would help, right? But there's another problem. The Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Hey tells us that when a person davens, lo yei davar chotzeitz beino levein hakosel, you shouldn't have anything between you and the wall. Why not? Why shouldn't you have anything between you and the wall? Because it just leads itself to distractions. Meaning, many, many, many halachos in Hilchos Tefillah are about the idea that you shouldn't be distracted, that you should be in an environment that lends itself to perfect concentration. That's probably what's behind makom kavua, because if it's a familiar environment, you're not going to be distracted by new things. And whenever you're in a new shul, you're always looking around and checking out the scenery. That's why you don't daven by a window. It's why you don't daven keneged begadim ha-metsuyarim, the Rama writes. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Habgadim ha-metsuyarim af bishen boltos ein lachol nisfal keneged." Shulchan Aruch says. The Rambam writes, the Rama writes rather, not even in your Sidurim, you shouldn't have too many fancy pictures even in your Sidurim. Meaning, the environment should be an environment that lends itself to absolute focus. If there's a game, particularly one that you're interested in, going on, and commercials that you're even more interested in, going on in that same room, on a massive screen, I once mentioned to my kids that it's probably better if you go to a Yankee game during the summer to daven after the game biyachidus than it is to daven at the seventh inning stretch minyan, by the hot dog stand, because that minyan is why is everyone screaming? It always stretches into the actual game, and it's not a davening. I understand if someone has to say Kaddish and whatever, so you want to help make a minyan or whatever. But it's really not the ideal way to be having a tefillah. It's very far from the environment of Kedusha. Of course, this is assuming that the person hasn't had beers and whatever else, and because that's a whole separate sugya of shasui or shikr davening. That's maybe for Purim. We'll talk about that. That's a very nogea topic on usually Marav on Purim, after Purim is over. So that's, maybe we'll talk about that a different time. But anyway, those are the super shilos from the big game. Okay. The ones we didn't talk about are buying the television in Costco on Sunday morning and returning it on Monday morning. That's a thing that apparently people do. Okay, other shilos too.